are just the most wonderful. Your love is so amazing, so big, so wide, and you love us so much that you plan to live inside of us. You plan to help direct us so that we can be successful and be bright lights. So we thank you this morning that everyone's eyes are open, ears are open, hearts are open, and your word will be deposited in our hearts and cause a transformation, Father, that we can just be so successful. We say this and believe this in the name of Jesus, and everybody shouted, amen, sister. All right, here we go. We've been doing a series. Here we go. Have my sneakers on because the series is about we are all in a race and you need grace, my grace sneakers, to go through this race. You need grace to go through the race. It's the life that we now live. So we've been talking about grace. Somebody asked me, Martha asked me last week, how many more weeks are you going to do? And I'm sitting here thinking, I know two more weeks. She was there, and I was like, I think I got two more weeks. And then, so anyway, it's been a lot of fun. Now, today I want to say something. I want to talk to you about something that everybody here has in common. Now look around the room. What? We all have in common? Look at this room of people. Okay, but today I want to talk about something that every person in this room has in common. Everybody does. And it's called, we all have struggles in our life. And I would probably bet everything on that we have struggles in our life that we've had for a long time. I used to say, I don't say this anymore, man, my favorite struggle sin is that I'm struggling with is gossip. Like the last of my favorites, you know? So I have struggled in that, and I'm working on getting victory in that. Just don't put me in a room of 12 ladies, man. I just get, it's amazing. But I hear men do the same thing. So everybody here, we all have areas in our life that we struggle in, right? If you say no, come up front, we'll pray for you later, you're lying, all right? Okay, write this down and do this later. This is my question to you. Write this down and you can do this later, and you really need to. This is homework. Homework, all right? Here we go. Can you think of an area in your life that you have this ongoing struggle? Something you do get when you get quiet with the Lord, just write that down. And then when you have your quiet time, because I know you all rise early in the morning, right? And have your quiet times, because we're doers of the word. Okay, write that down. What areas do I have struggles in? Okay? I don't want to know. It's between you and the Lord. All right. Now, So we all have areas that we struggle in, and it's really interesting on how these struggles come about. How come we have these struggles? All right? So it's kind of interesting. We have struggles. Well, how come we have struggles? Well, I think we have two main reasons. Two main reasons why we have struggles. Number one, it's that family I was born into. Oh, my gosh. All right? This is one time you're allowed to use that, okay? But I'm going to tell you, you can't use it too much later, all right? But one of the reasons why we have struggles in our life is the family that you were born into. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, now, if you were raised with a mom and dad, and, you know, I was cracking up as I was driving on the way to work today, and I thought, you know, there's some benefits for being 61. I have gotten and continue to look at many generations. There's many generations, and I've watched this family where they're just rip-roaring, angry, and yelling all the time. And this is years ago, I was hanging out with this family, and I actually knew their parents. I knew the mom and dad, and then my kids are little, so we were hanging out with the kids. And this family were screamers. They yelled. And my kids were little then. They were just kind of like, they actually, not that I never screamed in your dreams, okay? But when I screamed, I meant it, okay? But really, I watched screaming generations. So, because they, and these kids, I'm sitting here thinking, so these little kids are screaming back and forth at my little kids. This family, this is how they're raised. This is, and you tend to lean that way. Not always, because I'm not a screamer, right? Yeah. Not always, but many times you can tend to lean that way. Okay, the second reason why I see people struggle is you're just born. Okay, let me tell you. You're born that way. I have four kids. I have four kids, and it was amazing within the first couple of months. It wasn't because I had enough time to do damage on them, all right? Make them like me. But it was really interesting with four kids, anytime you have a couple kids, and you watch some things that they're just born like. Like I have one that is so laid back. Here's it. Okay. He. I only have one. Yeah, he is. Okay, he's just really laid back, born that way. He just tends to be that way. And let me tell you, the rest of them are high drama. So you would think he would learn. He just tends to be that way. So you can have areas in your life, and the reason why many times can be, is that you were born in this family, and you've just learned this, and you tend to be that way. All right? Or you're just born that way. All right? So praise the Lord. Now think about what you are, how that worked with you. All right. Now, some of you are like, oh, Pastor D, I don't believe a word you said. How many of you had to take psychology in college? I loved it. Didn't mean I studied, but I loved it. Sociology, psychology, and stuff like that. They are studies about people. I did study. I just sometimes study. Okay. And they said the same thing. They're looking at how people tend to be. And they can tend to be because of those two reasons. All right. So, let me toss that way, So, we all have areas in our life that we struggle in. Okay? We all have areas of our life we struggle in, and we're kind of figuring out who we want to point the finger at, why we're like that. But we all have areas we struggle in. Now, put that aside. Okay? I'm not lost. I'm going to go down a different trail. How many of you have ever prayed this prayer? God, I am struggling in this area. Take it away. Anyone? God, just take this away from me. I can't do this. God, take it away. Key thing. God, take it away. I've prayed that prayer. Okay. Now, you ask God to take that away. Okay. I heard a minister give this example. It's a good one. It's a good one. He said, so you have this guy, it could be a girl, but I'm going to say a guy, and this guy is married, and he's got an area he's struggling in. He's struggling. The guy is married. He's struggling in this area. He's struggling in the area of having an affair. He is struggling, right? Okay, so the guy goes to God. Dear Lord, heavenly, most heavenly Father, take this away from me. I don't like it. God, take it away from me. Okay, and then he turns around and goes, man, it's still here. I don't get it. It's still here. All right, so how many of you prayed that prayer? God, take it away, and you get really frustrated. God, it's still here. Well, there's a reason. All prayers that you pray, God doesn't answer. All prayers God hears everything. God is listening. But God answers prayers that line up with his word. Amen, Pastor D. We know that. God doesn't answer prayers that are not scriptural, that are not in the word. He won't answer that. There's some he doesn't answer. I want you to strike my mother-in-law with blah, 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 because she's a pain. All right, he doesn't answer that. And you know, so that's the funny ho-hos, but really, God will not answer some prayers. Pastor D, I thought you're a church that believes in prayer. Yes, every Sunday morning downstairs at 9:30 to 10:15, we have prayer. You should come. Every Thursday at noontime, we have prayer. You should come. Every 24th of the month, there's a York area prayer rally. You should come. We believe in prayer. But God doesn't answer all those kinds of prayers, does he? All right? All righty. So, God answers prayers that are in His Word that line up with His Word. God answers prayers that are in His Word and lines up in His Word. God doesn't answer prayers that do not line up with the Word, all right? All right, now, how many of you know what a selfie is? Okay. People are obsessed with selfies. I'm telling you. Don't look away from me if you're one of those. All right. How many of you don't know what a selfie is? Oh, some of you didn't raise your hand. All right. Oh, Antonio, I saw I missed your call. All right. Selfie is I turn on my phone, I press camera. Come on. And then I do a picture of me, and then I post it on Instagram. Like I go to the lake, and it's a beautiful lake, but I go like this, so you get me and a little bit of the lake. And then I post it on Facebook or Instagram. It's a picture really of only me. It's called a selfie. All right. Selfie. It's all about me. Title of the message is Death to Selfie. Thank you. You can sit on the front row. I'll preach to you. All right. Death to selfie. All right. The reason why is God can't answer, take this away. All right. Because if Jesus did something 2,000 years ago on the cross for you, God can't do some of your selfie prayers. If Jesus did something, He did something 2,000 years on the cross for you, for you, for you, then there's a part you play, pray, beg, whatever. So, everybody say, death to selfie. Death to selfie. Okay, now listen. Death to selfie. Death to selfie. Okay, now I'm going to throw words around. Y'all know, but I want it to get really into you because you will pray differently and you'll start behaving differently. We have to, not go, take it away. We have to have death to self. And the Bible talks about crucify yourself. All right, so we're going to talk about crucify, death to selfie. I think death to selfie sounds really cute anyway. All righty, now. If you're a follower of Jesus, amen, Pastor D, that's me. I've been a follower for years. If you're a follower of Jesus, you can't ask God to take stuff away. Why? Because He has done stuff for you that you have to do. It's you. All right, it's you. All righty. So, now none of us like to hear this. We just love God, just take this away. My hands are done. I'm waiting for you. God, take it away. I am done with this. It's your job, okay? Versus I'm going to say, God, I'm going to do something about the struggles I have in my life. I'm going to do something with the struggles I have in my life. I'm going to crucify, die to selfie. We don't like to say that, but that's what we're going to say today, and I'm going to back it up with about two big scriptures here for you. All righty. Open up to Hebrews chapter 12. This is where we've been reading. It's our text for the whole thing. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'm reading out of the New Living. And you all have this posted on your refrigerator or mirror, because we've done this every week for 4 weeks, right? Aha. Hebrews 12. Here we go. Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, those are the people in chapter 11, okay, witnesses to the life of faith, we strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin, underline that word, that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. How do we run the race? Keeping your eyes on Jesus. Keeping your eyes on Jesus. Okay. Now, the part that says here, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. All right. Strip off means to take off, to lay aside. So there are things. Now, it says let us. It's not that, God, take it away. God, take it away. He's saying, you have to strip off some stuff. Right? Right? Okay. Thank you. All right. You have to strip it off. Okay, let's pretend. Let's pretend with me. It's the middle of January, and I'm a swimmer. And I'm obviously not going to swim in my backyard pool. So I'm going to the Y to go swim laps, because I love swimming laps. Okay, because I'm going to be in great shape. So I get dressed to go to the Y. It's January. It's about 10 degrees outside. First, duh, I put the bathing suit on. Then I put on my winter coat, my sweater, my gloves, and my scarf. And I drive down to the Y, and I go to the locker room, and I strip off my scarf, my hat, my down jacket, my sweatpants, my boots. Because if I don't, I'm going to sink to that pool. Because those things become a weight. And I can't do what I want to do. Swim laps, right? Key, listen. I can't do what I want to do because of the weights. So, anybody have some weights in their life? And you can't do. You're struggling. You can't do what the race God placed you in and the things he wants you to do, the things you want to do. All right, so I need to strip off. All right, now, if you're a follower, I keep saying if you're really a follower of Jesus, he's telling you, he's telling me, I have to strip off some weights, right? I have to strip off some weights so I can run the race successfully. Now, I can swim with clothes on. Well, better yet, about 20 years ago when I was taking lifeguard class, we'd throw everybody in with their clothes and you had to swim and, you know, like, I could. You probably could for a little bit. I can. But golly gee whiz, it's not successful, is it? No, it's not successful doing that. So I want to run the race successfully. And he's telling me I have to do some things. I have to strip off some things so I can run this race. All right? Now, people don't like to hear that. Especially when we talk about the oopsie side of the grace message, okay? People want to say, I don't want to do any of that. I don't want to change. I don't want to strip off stuff, all right? Because first off, I'm in grace. God loves me, okay? I'm just going to say the same. Yes, 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 God loves you. Yes, 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 you have grace, okay? But God doesn't want you to stay the same. He doesn't want you walking around with all those weights. He really doesn't. He doesn't want you. And listen, he loves you. He loves you just the way you are. But he gives us grace so you don't have to stay. Your husband should be going to the wife, see, I'm tired of this. I don't want you to stay this way. All right. This is what's the time you do it. This, because God's saying, I don't want you to stay this way. So I'm going to give you grace. Yes, I love you. But my grace will empower you so you can get help, so you can overcome, so you can run the race successfully. Hallelujah. All right. Now, last week we went over the definition of grace. It was like the definition that I heard for the last 30 years. And it's true. It says grace is God's unmerited favor. Grace is unmerited favor. Yes, it's true. Yes, it's true. And unmerited means it's free. How many like free? One time we had a guest speaker and they set up their table, their product table in the back. And the gentleman said, you can just tell everybody the stuff is free. This one lady went and whipped out 30 of the whole shabam. She liked free. I was like, oh my, I'm so embarrassed. Okay. But we like free, right? I like free. Okay. So free. Free means you can't, this grace, unmerited free grace, means you can't earn it. You can't do anything to get it. It's free. It's free. Matter of fact, you don't deserve it, but it's free. Okay? That's grace. So yes, we have grace. But the only trouble about with that is it doesn't tell you it's just free. It just tells you it's free. But it doesn't tell you what grace will do for you. It doesn't tell you what grace will do in your life. So a better definition we went over last week is grace is God's power, or God empowering you to do the things you can't do, all right, or the struggles that you're stuck in. Grace will help you, empower you, so you can do what you can't do. So I like that one. I say that a lot. Thank you, Jesus, you're empowering me. Hallelujah, I can't do this. I thank you, you're going to empower me. Amen. So grace, if I'm struggling, we've been struggling with an area. Well, here you have grace. It'll empower you. It'll help you to overcome. Amen. Amen. So now, I went over this last week. My concern is when I hear people say, yeah, but God, take it away. And I'm just going to stay this way until God takes it away because I have grace. No, 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 okay? It's not okay to stay the same. I thought you loved me, Pastor D, whatever my name is, right? I do love you, all right? I do love you. God loves you. But baby, he doesn't want you to stay the same. The things you struggle with, he doesn't want you to stay that way. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves you. He doesn't want you to stay the same. So he has grace for you. He has grace for you. All right. So grace is saying, God is saying, I'll empower you so you don't have to stay the same way you are. This thing struggling that keep tripping you up. You don't have to stay. All right. Now, I love it when, now sometimes people think, yes, but God, I have grace. I can stay the same. Newsflash. No, no, that is not good. It's not good. God doesn't want to. He doesn't want you to stay the same. He wants to empower you so he can help you, so he can help you overcome the things you're struggling in. That's the newsflash. You, please don't stay that way. Okay. If you're taking notes, write this down. There are two pains in our life that we will encounter. There are, oh, Pastor D, we're a faith church. We don't want any pain. We believe by the stripes of Jesus. We love it. Okay. No, 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 baby. Write this down. There are two kinds of pain that everybody's going to deal with in their life. There are two kinds of pain that everybody's going to deal with in their life. Pain number one, the pain of discipline. Pain number two, the pain of regret. Think on that. Come on. Let me give you some natural examples, okay? Pain of discipline, the pain of regret, all right? So it's time to deny yourself. I'm not going to be a couch potato anymore. I'm not going to be a couch potato anymore. I'm not going to cuss anymore, okay? I'm going to deny myself, all right? Anytime you deny yourself being a couch potato, you start to discipline yourself, right? Say discipline. Oh, I love that word, discipline. All right, so anytime you start to deny yourself, you have to start to discipline yourself. I'm not going to watch 3 hours of TV every night. I'm going to discipline myself. I got sucked into it the other night. Oh, my God, I was going to kick myself, all right? Better yet. Now, sometimes we think discipline is as I'm not going to, but how about this one? I'm going to discipline myself to read my Bible every day. Before I go out the door, before I start machine gunning everybody, because it's really good, all right? All right, so I am going to discipline. I am going to deny. I'm going to deny a little bit of sleep and get up 20 minutes early. And I'm going to deny that part so that I can read my Bible, all right? So, amen, amen. So there is a pain to discipline, right? There's a pain to discipline. There's a pain to discipline, okay? And it takes discipline, and there's a pain to it. Now, there's also a pain of regret. If you don't do that, you're going to have a pain of regret. If you don't have the discipline, you're going to have a pain of regret. Anybody have some pains of regret? Things that you did, stuff you did, you wish you didn't do, and oh my golly, I can't believe I did that. And you have that regret? Okay. Okay. Now, there's I usually leave my house around 8:30, and there's this old guy. Sorry if I called you old. He's got a full head of white hair, a full white beard, and he's a runner. You ever look at the physique of a runner? They're this wiry bunch. And I look at his face just about every day except for Saturday, because I don't usually leave the house on Saturday. And I watch him running, and he's got pain all over his face. He does. It doesn't. He does. He's not going, yay, I'm running 2 miles today. Woohoo! Yeah. I look at his face. He has pain to discipline, right? It takes, you know, a person who's lifting in the gym and lifting and sweating, and they're not going, rah, 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 I'm lifting weight, rah, rah, rah. No, why? There's a pain. Everybody say pain to discipline, okay? Now, the pain of regret is if you don't do that. Think on that, baby. That's a good one. The pain of regret is when you don't do that, okay? So when I walk into the doctor's office and he goes, you know, you should have been exercising your whole life. And now you have blah, 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 blah going on, okay? Right about then, I have a pain of regret. I have a pain of a regret, right? You have pain of regret. Okay, so there's a pain to discipline, and if you don't do that, you might have a pain of regret, all right? So such as, don't you love it? You go out to eat, and you eat this big meal, and then this cute little waitress comes with her little tray, and she goes, oh, would you guys, would you like to have dessert now? We have chocolate cake with ganache filling. We have cheesecake with cherries on top. We have pecan pie with homemade vanilla ice cream. And we have tiramisu. I just named all my favorites. Those are my favorites, okay? And I have to deny myself because I will have the regret that my clothes don't fit. And I have to spend money to buy the next size. All right? So there's a pain of discipline and then a pain of regret. And listen, the pain of discipline, discipline's over here, I forgot. The pain of discipline outweighs, it should, the pain of regret, right? It should, if you're smarter than a fifth grader, right? All right, now. Those are kind of natural things. Let me tell you about spiritual things. The pain of crucifying. Oh, that's that word, Pastor D. Yep. Crucifying things. The pain of crucifying things. We're going to talk about that word. Is better than the pain of regret. So the things may be. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. So write that down. The pain of crucifying is better than the pain of regret afterwards. Okay, now I have some good news. If you have a whole bunch of regrets for today, if you have things that you regret you did in life, you have things that you regret you said, I have good news. God's grace, God's mercy, God's love, God's forgiveness. And you don't have to carry regrets, okay? Don't get stuck there. You never have to carry a regret. That's the good thing, all right? But, all right, open up to Galatians 5, and I'll get to my butt. Here we go. Galatians 5, all right? Hallelujah. Galatians 5. All righty. Today's old school. Today, I'm going to read a ton of scriptures. Lock the door. Because these are scriptures you've read. And you've read, and you kind of scoot through, all right? And these scriptures will change your life. So it's we're going to look at scriptures. You're going to listen to me read. I'm going to read out these bunch out of the New Living. If you have another version, you just follow along. I want you to write up. I'm going to say certain words, and I'm going to say underline it. Because we want to have the pain of discipline so we don't have the pain of regret. So we're going to go Bible thumping today. Ready? Or flipping. All right. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, I thank you that the cross took care of my regrets. I thank you for that. I have no regrets. I've been made free. I've been made washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Amen, everybody? All right. Galatians 5, we're going to start in verse 16. And we've been saying that grace will empower you to overcome your struggles, okay? And Galatians 5 is going to tell you what grace will do and how it works in your life. Oh, good. Because, you know, sometimes you read stuff and you go, well, that was nice. What does that mean? We're going to find out what grace does and how it works in your life. Amen? Here we go. Galatians 5, starting at verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. A better translation of that word guide, underline that, would be let the Holy Spirit have control of your life. The Holy Spirit has control over your life. That's what it should, that's the Greek better translation. So let the Holy Spirit be the one who controls your life. Then you, underline you, won't do what your sinful nature craves. So I say, let the Holy Spirit be the one who controls your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Okay, so here's what happens. The day that you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life, a miracle took place. It's a miracle. You were changed. I didn't look any different. I didn't smell any different. But I was changed on the inside. It says, "You and listen, God is a spirit. We're made in his image. So you know what got changed? My spirit. Okay, and I became a brand new woman. I'm so used to the scripture. A brand new man in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You've been made brand new, right? There was a change, all right? I was made brand new. That part was made brand new. That part was made brand new. And I was made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I was made holy. Those are the things, the change that happened in my spirit, which is the real you. In my spirit, which is the real you. But, everybody say but. But you still have this nature. And this Bible, this calls it your sinful nature, okay? You still have this nature. Sometimes you'll see it used as the word flesh. Now, it's not this flesh, guys. It's not this. It's the nature inside of you that wasn't changed, okay? The nature inside of you. And you know that, you know what I found about that nature inside of me? It wants to do bad stuff. Evil stuff. Basically anything contrary to God's word. That's what that sinful nature, the flesh, wants to do. It really wants to do that, okay? So you have to deal with it. You have to deal with it. You know that prayer, God, take it away. You have to deal with it, okay? And listen, if you don't get it under control, it's going to control you. If you don't get it under control, it's going to control you. You don't train those cute little babies, they control you. Oh my gosh, they're just ruling the house. You ever been in someone's house? I thought, man, baby, they need to train those babies, okay? So again, if you don't get a grip on that, if you don't control that nature, it's going to control you. And now, listen, it shows up all different ways. The way my flesh fleshes my nature, it's going to be different than yours, all right? And I'm not going to list them all, okay, all those things, but you know what it is. You know what is trying to control you. If not, your spouse will tell you, honey, by the way, this is controlling you, and it needs to change, all right? So now Paul is saying we need to start controlling in areas in our life that are controlling you. All right, let's go to verse 2. Verse 17, the sinful nature wants to do evil. We just said that, which is the opposite of the spirit, what the spirit wants. The spirit gives us desires that are opposite of the sinful nature. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. All right, these two. Okay, how many of you remember a really old, because I'm so young, somebody else's generation, a Disney cartoon of Donald Duck? Donald Duck, he's standing there in the center, and he's got this little tiny demon Donald Duck with little horns. And on the other side, he's got this little angel Donald Duck, you know, with a halo here. And one is saying, the little demon guy's, do bad, do bad. And the little angel's, do good, do good. Okay? Do bad, do good, do bad, do good. So there's this opposite going on. There's fighting going on in the cartoon, you know? It's pretty true, really, of what that scripture just said. We have a nature that's going, do bad, do bad. And the spirit is going, don't do that, all right? Now, sometimes it gets so strong, those feelings with the do bad, and I do bad. I can't believe I did that again. I went with a bunch of ladies and I got sucked into gossip again. Dang it. I can't believe I did that. Okay. All right. Now, the interesting thing is sometimes it's pleasurable to do sin. Ah! What? Sometimes it feels good to do sin. Oh, come on. Right? Sometimes it is. It really is. Okay? Now, I think it's in Hebrews. It says, sin is actually pleasurable for a season. Sin is, yeah, for a season. Okay? Because for a season, it felt good to do it. All right, for a season, if I can't look at some of your faces, oh my gosh. Okay, all right, for a season, such as, so it's really amazing, such as I just gave her a piece of my mind, and I really don't give a flying flip that she's crying, because I just feel so much better, because I finally got it off of my chest. Sin is pleasurable, right? Felt good. Felt good to finally tell them what I felt, right? Felt good. Okay. But what happens is the afterwards. Oh, shoot. Now I got to fix that. Okay. All right. Afterwards. Listen, it is not glorify God when you do that. Okay. It's not a good reflection on being a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. See my cross. See my t-shirt. See my sticker. Okay. It's not good to do that. Doing all that bad stuff. But, well, come on, it felt good, right? It kind of felt good. Sometimes your body feels good. Sometimes your mind feels good, right? When you do that. But afterwards, regret. I regret I did it, right? There's that pain of regret. Okay? This gets happy later on, so you have to stick it out. So Paul is saying, you don't do what you should do, and you have this battle going on, all right? And sometimes the one side wins, right? Sometimes it wins. And sometimes you instead of doing right, I did the wrong thing again, all righty? Okay, verse 18, jumping along here. Oh, my gosh. But when you are directed, hallelujah, when you, underline you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation of the law of Moses. Okay. So if any of you have read your Old Testament and you'd like to read through your Bible every year and you have to get through Numbers and Deuteronomy and you start reading all those laws, when I get to that part, I go, oh my God, thank you, Jesus. I am not under all those laws. There were over 600 rules and laws. I just thought there were the Ten Commandments. Oh no, they cocked up all these crazy 600 more, okay? But I am now not on the Old Testament, all right? And I don't have to do all those, then that's what it's saying, all right? I'll talk later. Verse 19, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. When you follow that little guy that's telling you, you know, controlling you, it's very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, pleasure, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, oh my gosh, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, oh my gosh, dissension, division, envying, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. There's other sins? Thought this list was pretty bad. Okay? Other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, anyone living in this sort will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay. People tell me all the time, well, the Bible's not relevant. Did you just read that list? That was going on in Paul's day. And other such. Guys, it's bad now. Same stuff. Don't tell me this Bible's not relevant. That's relevant. It's still the same stuff, right? Same stuff. I don't think it's worse. Paul's days, they were crazy bad. Really crazy bad. Okay? So, Paul's telling all of us that we have this nature and it wants to do some of those things. All right? But we don't think it's bad. It's okay to lie. I'm just going to leave that out on my such and such form. You lie. Okay? I just got jealous. Big deal. All right? I just caused division. I mean, what's wrong with that? I tell everybody how I feel. And you cause division. Come on, they know how I am. All right. Listen, guys, that's all a part of the nature that wants to do bad. And we're supposed to crucify it. We are supposed to crucify it. Okay, let's read verse 22. This is the good part. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Oh my gosh, self-control? No one likes that. What? Self-control? I have to do self-control? By the grace of God that empowers you, you can have self-control. So no cop-outs, all righty? Verse 24, this is where I really wanted to get to, okay? Those who belong to Christ Jesus. Anybody in here, you belong to Christ Jesus? Okay. So you could say, I belong to Christ Jesus, and I have nailed the passions and the desires of that sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. I'm going to read that again. Because I belong to Christ, I have nailed the passions, the desires of the sinful nature to his cross, and I crucified them there. Okay. Now, so we all have these desires that come up sometimes, just sometimes, every once in a while. I want to do some things that are contrary to the word of God, all right? And this is what you're supposed to do. Okay, object lesson. You know, I was driving here to church. My brain's all over the place. Thank goodness I only have two turns and I get here. But people say, you know, the Bible, I just don't understand the Bible. To me, the Bible is so visual. I just see pictures. They give you little word pictures, and this is it. I take these desires that are contrary to the word, and I put them on the cross. I nail them to the cross. I crucify them on the cross. Okay? Who died on this cross for you? Jesus died on the cross. He was crucified. This cross represents death. Okay? So I'm going to read this again. Okay. All right. Here you go. I have nailed the passions and desires of this sinful nature to the cross, and I crucify them. So, what do we do when we have a desire that is contrary to the word? We take it, we deny it, we nail it to the cross, and it dies. Dead. This is a real uplifting message about death, right? Okay? Yep. Okay. Now, you deny yourself, you crucify it, you nail it to the cross where it's dead. That is easier said than done, right? All right, it is easier said than done. Such as you're 18 years old and you're in college and it's Friday night in the dorms and everybody's going to go out partying. And what you need to do, I need to deny, because I know where I'll end up. I need to deny myself and nail it to the cross. I want it to die. I'm going to die it, okay? All right, those desires, I take it, I nail it, and I die. It dies, right? Okay. Now, Jesus said it a little bit differently. He says, whoever wants to be a follower of me, whoever wants to be a disciple of me, whoever wants to be a follower of me, deny. Yeah. Selfie. Deny yourself. okay? Deny yourself, all right? Deny yourself. So if you want to be a follower of me, you need to deny yourself. Oh, dang, deny what? Deny those feelings. Deny doing some of those things. Deny saying what you always say, okay? You need to deny. Deny it. Everybody say deny it. Deny. Okay, one of my favorite quotes to one of my kids just goes right along with this. Not every thought in your brain needs to come out of your mouth. Guess what kid that was? Don't even guess. Okay. That was deny yourself. Because not every thought in your mind needs to come out of your mouth. Oh, oops, I just slipped out. Baloney. Oh, that was so funny. Mm-mm. Okay. Jesus said, deny yourself. Okay, so that fits right into the pain of discipline, right? When you deny yourself, there's pain of discipline. When you deny yourself, that's the pain of discipline. I love pain of discipline. No, I don't. Okay, so it takes pain. I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to do the right what God says, okay? It's a discipline to read your Bible. It is so easy to hit the snooze and wake up later, okay? It's a discipline. And then you get to be my age, and I have this bio clock, and it just pops up. It just wakes up. So what the heck? I'm going to get up. But some of you would probably go play on your Facebook instead of the pain of discipline, all right? Or it takes pain. The pain of discipline. Okay, I went to church. I am going to have some pain of discipline. I'm going to get up and read my Bible. I toss my Bible in the back of my car. And then when I come next week, or if I feel like coming next week, I'll get my Bible and read it. You didn't have much pain, did you? Nope, you didn't. Okay, that's not good discipline, guys. That is not good discipline. Okay, because the pain of regret is you have not been daily feeding and applying the word of God to your life, and now you start struggling and stumbling and tripping and doing these things you know you're not supposed to do. And then you have pain of regret, all right? Okay, I'm going to do it. I can do this. We can do this. We can do this. Open up to Romans chapter 6, okay? Romans chapter 6. I was going to say I was going to close reading this, but I have some really great scriptures here. Romans chapter 6. This is Paul, and he's describing how you crucify things that you want to take. How you crucify the things that want to take you down the wrong road. Romans chapter 6. How you crucify things that want to take you down the wrong road. All right. Okay, here we go. Well, let me give you an example. Let's just say you're having a problem with sexual desires. Pastor Day, you're going to talk about this in church? Yes, because turn on your TV, look at the billboard. Your kids, we should talk about it because it's real, right? And you're all big boys and girls, okay? Okay, so can I tell you something? I'm not here to judge anybody. I am here to help you with the word of God. And you know what? The more I've done this message, I have had to make changes in my life. I am practicing what I preach, okay? So I'm not judging you. We're here to take the word of God, have it been lit up in our life so we can actually understand it and apply it. Okay, so here we go. What do you do when you're having all these sexual desires that are wrong? Okay? According to scripture, you're supposed to crucify it. All right? Right? You're supposed to crucify it. Okay, and we said that's easier said than done. That's easier said than done. Romans chapter 1 gives you the answers. Well then, no, this is so good. I am going to crack up the day I meet the Apostle Paul. He's just a humdinger. He just shoots you. I love it. Okay, well then, should we keep on sinning? The word sinning means missing the mark. Because, you know, if you say sinning, you start thinking of this whole list of what sin is. But if you simply say, miss the mark, you know when you miss the mark, right? You know when you miss your mark. I love when my kids would walk in, heads down. I'm like, well, man, somebody missed the mark. You can just read they just did it, all right? All right, so let's read that again. Well, then, should we keep on missing the mark so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Okay. Heck no, baby. Paul answers it. No way. Are you kidding me? Verse 2. He answers it. But I'd love to. Okay, verse 2. He says, of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? How can we continue to live in it? All right. So now I'm going to give you an example. Please don't anybody think bad of what I am. It's just a really good example. And I know some people, there's an emotional side to this, and just love me through it. Okay. All right. So let's suppose, today I got a text message at 5:55 from Margie. You know, everybody know Margie, her aunt was, had an accident, oh my gosh, 30 years ago, fell off a horse, and she had brain damage. And she's been living in a home because her brain was not functioning. But Margie loved this lady, just loved her. We've talked about Carol. So by the way, you can send Margie a sympathy card and just love on her and stuff like that. I get phone calls like this. I go to a lot of funerals. Okay, now let's suppose I'm going to the funeral home, and you walk in, and there's the casket. Okay, in the casket is a body. Alrighty. Now, that's not the real person, because the Bible says that we're the real us is a spirit. And when this is just the thing that's left. I love that it's a tent. It's there. All right. But the real person has gone on to be with Jesus, right? The real person. So let's just suppose, please don't get upset with me for my examples, but today there's this 30-year-old guy laying in this casket, and he has died. He's dead. And the prettiest woman in the whole world comes up and looks in at the guy. How many of you know this guy is not going to say, oh, I'm so tempted again? No, why? He's dead. Right? He's dead. He's not going to have a problem. He's not struggling with sexual sin anymore, is he? No. Okay. All right. Is he being tempted? No, why? He's dead. Okay, you please love me. Just a good example. So this is what Paul's saying. If you really understood that you are dead to sin, you wouldn't be struggling. With a dead men tell no tales or something like that. Listen, dead people in Christ don't have to struggle. If you would understand that you have died to sin, you wouldn't be struggling. Okay, now, I'm still working on this too, babies. I am not perfect, so I'm still learning the lesson here, all right? So the reason why we struggle is we think we're alive, right? We think we're alive. We're not. We're dead. Verse 3, here we go. Or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ in baptism, we joined him in his death? All right, now, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. You all go out to lunch later, okay? There's different, the word baptism is in the Bible, and there's like five different kinds of baptism. We know of being the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Okay, this is our spa. You get water baptized, all right? There's different baptisms. This one right here, where it says you were joined with Christ in baptism, means that the day you received Jesus Christ, you were put in Jesus, put into Christ's body, put into Christ. The other better translations, you were immersed. Oh, that's so wonderful. You were immersed into Christ. Okay? So that you were immersed into his baptism, you were joined with him in his death. Verse 4, for we died, we were buried with Christ in that baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also, what's that say? May live new lives. Oh my gosh. You should be shouting. It's just so wonderful. It is. Oh my gosh. I love this. All right. So, now, I'm off course, but I'll say it. When we used to go to Faith Christian Fellowship, Bob Daniels used to teach on this. I went 6 months. I come home every night going, I didn't get it. I didn't get it. And that whole, he taught nothing but who you now were. I was dead in Christ. I was raised in Christ. I go home, I don't get it. And one day, bam, oh my God, this is what Jesus did with me. This is who I've been immersed into. This is who I am now. I got it. So come and see me later or get the CD. Keep listening. In 6 months, lights will go off. All right. Verse 5. Since we have been united with him in his death, we also have been raised to life. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power. Sin might be rendered powerless. Powerless. Everybody say that. Powerless. Oh my gosh. Powerless. Okay. Powerless. Oh my gosh. We are no longer slaves to sin. Okay. So what he's saying is this old guy, this old nature, this old D, all right, used to be, that old used to be has been crucified, crucified, dead. All right. Crucified when I received Jesus Christ. When I received Jesus Christ, I died with him on the cross. I died with him on the cross. I died with him on the cross. And the best part is I rose with him. I rose with him. I'm seated in the heavenlies. I'm more than a conqueror, okay? But I died. That sin died. Alrighty? Now, verse 6, it says, we know our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power. Sin lost its power, you guys. Sin lost its power. If you've received Jesus, it did. It lost its power. It's rendered powerless. Okay? Now, dang it, that sin does try to control me. It does, right? But I'm not going to let it, all right? So, verse 7, let's jump down here. For we died with Christ, we are set free from the power of sin. Hallelujah. All right. Now, if you don't know this scripture, you get so stinking frustrated. God, take this away. What do you, I can't believe it's still here. If you don't know this, if you don't understand this, you get frustrated, all right? So we have died. The temptations, the desires, I go, it's dead. I'm a dead man. I'm not going to let it control me. I am not going to let it control me. I'm dead. I'm a dead to selfie, right? All righty. Verse 8. Let's do that. Oh my gosh, Lord Jesus, here we go. How do I do this, Lord? All right. I am not going to get anxious. If you guys have to leave, I understand it, all right? But I desire so much because I love you so much and I see things that we struggle in our life. We struggle in our life and we struggle the same thing over and over. And then I think I got the victory on one and I struggle. If you would just have some patience with me and just look at this, I really want you to get this, okay? But if you have to leave, you guys just slip out really quiet. I know that, okay? So, all right. So I'm through getting anxious on this. Here we go. Verse 11. I don't know. Where am I? Verse 8. Here we go. 7. For we died with Christ and were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has power over him and me. Because when he died once, breaking the power of sin. But now he lives for the glory of God. So you also consider this, consider this, consider this. Think on this. You all think on this. Yourselves to be dead to sin. Yourselves to be dead to the power of sin. Guys, think on that, all right? And now I'm alive to God. Wow. All right. Hallelujah. All right, let's see. You guys go home and read this, but the very last part says that you have a choice. You know the little demon over here? Do bad, do bad, do bad. And the little angel? Do good, do good, do good. Do bad, do bad, do bad. You every day have a choice. Don't fool yourself. You have a choice. You have a choice if you're going to let that desire control you. All right? That's what it says, the very last verse here. All right? So the very last verse says, you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteousness. So we have a choice. All right. One more scripture. You love me. Here we go. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Matter of fact, you don't have to look it up. 1 Corinthians 31. 1 Corinthians 31. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 15, 31. There's no 31s in there. 1 Corinthians 15, 31. Paul says, I die daily. You don't have to look it up. I die daily. Everybody say that. What the heck does that mean? Huh? Okay, let me give you an example. I grew up in an alcoholic family. We have generations of alcoholics. Okay? Generations after generations. It is the normal thing in the family I grew up. All right? Normal. Every night you come home and you don't have one glass of wine. You have the bottle. And you don't share it. You don't have one beer. I don't even know how many beers you drink, okay? Now, they didn't do hard liquor. That was only at funerals. We do shots of whiskey. Oh, stupidest thing ever. I went to one of my cousin's funerals, and they're all toasting these shots. I went, that is so dumb. Okay. So, all right. So this is the background, all right? And I want to get the buzz. I like to get drunk. Mm-hmm. All right? And, matter of fact, I live for it every day. Not on the weekend. I live for it every day. I like to get the buzz. I want to get the buzz. I want to get the buzz. I want to get the buzz. Okay. Now, I die daily says this. Today, I will crucify my desires, and I am not going to do that. Now, the funny thing about that is I had to do that for every day for a long time. And then, don't offer me any alcohol, guys. I just don't want to. I don't need it. All right. But there was a season. Man, I like the buzz. All right. So Paul also said, remember the scripture, he says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Anybody ever been weak in temptation? Temptation hit and you're weak? Okay. That's when you say, God, I take this to the cross and I die, and your grace now makes me strong. It empowers me. Because let me tell you guys, I could not have done that had it not been the grace of God and walking with God, walking with the word and saying that. It's not a problem. All right. It was a problem though. It was a problem. So this is your homework assignment. All right. This is your homework assignment. So because listen, some of you, till you get to the end of the parking lot, you're going to struggle with some temptations. It used to amaze me. We couldn't even get out of the parking lot without some struggling with temptations, okay? Well, four kids and crazy things. Just crazy. Four kids. And a husband. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? All right. But let's suppose you get up in the morning, okay? You make it to the parking lot. Every morning when you get up, you need to say, this is how you apply it in your life. You need to say is, when the struggle hits, I deny that thing, that thought to control me. I am nailing it to the cross. It's dead. And it now does not control me. And now I would love to tell you only have to do once in your life. Can you imagine you only have to do it once in your life? Poof, that's it. Abracadabra. Okay, but you might have to say this every day and say this every day. But listen, I guarantee, I don't say that too often, I guarantee you start applying this to your life. You start saying this. You start understanding. Go back and read Galatians 5 and Romans 6, and you just get stuck on it for 6 months. And the lights will go off, all right? And you will stop struggling in the things that have tripped you up. I remember saying we were having issues in our marriage, and I was like, I can't believe I fell in the hole again. I see the hole. I'm not going to fall in the hole. I am not going to do that again. And next thing I know, I'm down in the hole. Until I learned I had some desires that were... Okay? All right. So let's pray. Praise the Lord. Father God, we love you. We love you that you have shown us Better yet, we love you that you have given us our Lord Jesus, that he died on the cross and he rose again. And when he died, I died. When he rose, we rose. And because of that, sin does not have control of us. I thank you, Father, that you empower us with your grace to do the things we cannot do. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that these words, your word is life, your word is light, that it would just shine and just pulse through this congregation, Father, Father, giving them understanding, because we are set, we have been set in a race, and we're supposed to be a success, and we are a success with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, I didn't know I could talk that long that fast. I'm telling you, wah! I need a drink of water. Hallelujah. I love you this big.